It's Monday, October 25th. That means the NBA season is like 24 hours away, Greg.
Wow. It's flown by this offseason, and from what I hear, there was a big story in the offseason. I don't know personally. You know, I kind of took a break, got away from the game for a minute.
Right.
But if you heard about something that you want to talk about today.
This is actually what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And we're going to welcome you to the CBSSports.com basketball podcast. Adam Azer here with Greg Urbano. First time we've been with you since the finals, right?
Yes, several months now.
It's been a while, and we apologize for that. But here we are. And I don't want to make this a LeBron or a Heat podcast. This is a comprehensive NBA preview. We're going to tell you about some players that were on the move because you might have forgotten about some of the more under-the-radar transactions. We're going to give you 1 through 8 in the East and the West, tell you about the new coaches around the league, predict the finals, and just talk about some other topics from around the NBA. This is not a LeBron show because I think NBA fans out there might be already a little tired of hearing about LeBron James. He is the Brett Favre of basketball now.
Sadly, right now he is.
Yeah.
Right? You know, he hasn't sent any text messages or any pictures that he shouldn't have at
that
this point.
That we know of, right.
But, you know, then again, he's still young. But if you look at, like you said, his decision overshadowed a lot of other movement that changed the landscape of those teams outside of Miami and L.A. for sure.
So let's give out the 8 new coaches first. You tell me anything that jumps out at you. But we'll start with Avery Johnson, who's coaching the Nets. Monty Williams coaching the Hornets. Tom Thibodeau to the Bulls. Byron Scott to the Cavaliers. That's a difficult situation to take over right now.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Collins is coaching the 76ers. Vinny Del Negro to the Clippers. Larry Drew to the Hawks. And Keith Smart to the Warriors. And a lot of these names, Monty Williams, Larry Drew, and Keith Smart, some of you are thinking, who are these guys? Monty Williams, a very respected assistant coach. Keith Smart taking over now for Don Nelson. He has NCAA fame, part of that Indiana National Championship. And Larry Drew, I really don't know what to expect from Larry Drew and the Atlanta Hawks this year, but what name jumps out at you?
The one that jumps out as far as the game changer and the one that I believe is going to make his team take the biggest step this season is Tom Thibodeau going to the Chicago Bulls. I think, obviously, he's got the best team in place out of the names you mentioned. So what are the changes he's going to implement? And for him, and you know his specialty is defense. We know for a fact that this is the guy who basically orchestrated the defensive mind frame that they had, as the Boston Celtics had, going into facing the LeBron Jameses, the Dwayne Wades of the world,
right,
and, of course, the Kobe Bryants. So removing him from Boston is going to take a little from them, and also, of course, now the Bulls are going to be that much better defensively, and you've got Derrick Rose running the show on offense.
I think he's going to have a good first season, but this is what concerns me about Tom Thibodeau. He's been a defensive ace for years. It's nothing new. It's not like he's new to the coaching game. He's interviewed for a lot of jobs in the past. He finally got one. I mean, think about how long we expected him to get a job as a head coach, and then it finally happened. And you know, I remember reading once that he just didn't interview very well, and that was one of the reasons why he got passed up for some jobs. So maybe he's not head coaching material. Maybe. Now, I think he's going to do well, but I'm just, I guess, bringing that up to be devil's advocate.
Yeah.
And he does have the best team in place.
Certainly.
Of all of these situations. I'm very interested in Doug Collins with the Philadelphia 76ers. I believe they are somewhat of a sleeper team. All right, so let's go over some players who are on the move. There are a lot of them. I'll try to get through these as quickly as possible. We know LeBron James and Chris Bosh are on the Heat, joining the marquee free agent Mike Miller. Miller's going to be out until at least January with a thumb injury.
Yep.
Wade and LeBron have both been a little banged up this preseason with hamstrings. Carlos Boozer's a Bull, but he is out until at least early December with a broken hand. The Bulls also added Ronnie Brewer, Kyle Korver, C.J. Watson, and Kurt Thomas. And Greg, this was a team that didn't really have a shooter. Korver could be a pretty big addition.
You'd love to see Kyle Korver on a team that needs him. He's always played a great, you know, six man slash just, you know, scorer from the outside when he was in Utah. And now you put him on a team like Chicago where you have Derrick Rose, who will always be the center of focus for the opposing defense. That opens up spots for Korver to just spot up, and he's great off the pick. He's just a great spot-up shooter. It's exactly what they want. And obviously Keith Bowen's another guy, adds a little bit of toughness off the bench, one of those guys who is a glue guy. And the Bulls certainly are now deeper and better than they were last year.
Jermaine O'Neal and Shaquille O'Neal joined the Celtics. And now this is not a complete list of transactions, so there are obviously so many, but we'll give you some of the highlights. Jermaine O'Neal and Shaquille O'Neal are on the Celtics. And Kendrick Perkins out for a few months because he tore his ACL in the NBA Finals. So Shaq he can't be a bum here. He has to be good. He has to rebound. And that was a problem for the Celtics last year. And they need him to be a big body down low. And you know what I think hurts the Celtics and helps the Grizzlies? Tony Allen is now a Memphis Grizzly. Mm-hmm. And the Celtics, who on their bench is going to be that guy? I don't think it's Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson does not bring
it's
to the
too
table. And he's not gritty and he's not tough and he's not a defensive player. He doesn't bring to the table what Tony Allen brings to the table. I actually think that's a pretty significant move. I don't know if significant, but it's a pretty nice move for the Grizzlies. Oh, yeah. It's kind of the type of player they need to glue it all together.
I agree. I think you look at kind of two ends of this. You see Tony Allen going away from the Celtics and you see the Lakers getting a guy like Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
That's just a big difference in that you would see, you know, when Kobe's off the floor, having Barnes, another tough guy who can defend and obviously rebound and move the ball around. And then, like you said, Allen going away from the Celtics, that depth off the bench. You know, I don't know that Nate Robinson is that guy to play that role.
He's
obviously
not. He stinks.
You look at a Marquise Daniels, who has just completely been in the last 5 or 6 years just a question mark as to what is this guy going to do. You've seen talent. You've seen things from him, but just not enough. So Boston, certainly, they're going to rely on health from their veteran players like they have for a long time, and, of course, Rajon Rondo.
Well, you love their front court depth mm-hmm. with the two O'Neals and with Big Baby. You got to like the front court depth, but the back court depth is a concern. Yep. All right, Amari Stoudemire went to the Knicks, David Lee to the Warriors. Al Jefferson is on the Jazz. Is that important? Is that significant?
It at least will give them someone who, I mean, obviously they have Millsap there too. So,
yeah.
You know, you had that same thing last year with Boozer and Millsap. You know, who do you really go to? But I do feel that Jefferson can at times play the five when you have someone like Okur go down, because we know Okur is often injured. And it will at least allow them to go with the lineup of Jefferson as center, Millsap power forward, which to me is better than when they would try to force Boozer and Millsap on the court at some of the same times back in the last couple seasons. So, in general, we know it's Darren Williams' team. So adding Al Jefferson will, I think, make Al Jefferson better, because now he's playing with D. Will, and his game will improve. His numbers will definitely be better than last year, without a doubt. And I expect big things from Utah this year.
Me too. I liked him a lot. Dallas added Tyson Chandler. Now, if you were really relying on Tyson Chandler, you might be in trouble. But for him, for Dallas, he's almost a spare part that could really play a nice role off the bench. So that was
well,
kind of a savvy
move. Well, they kept Brandon Haywood there,
yeah,
too.
Exactly,
so you've got
exactly.
Two big bodies who many teams would love to get their hands on.
Al Harrington on the Nuggets, good shooter off the bench. Maybe they don't like J.R. Smith so much.
He fits what you would think they would get, a guy that just shoots the ball all the
time,
scores, doesn't
not,
play much defense, but he loves to score.
I don't think this is too significant. Darren Collison is on the Pacers, though, part of a four-team trade. Collison to the Pacers, Ariza to the Hornets. Ariza should improve. Troy Murphy to the New Jersey Nets, Courtney Lee to Houston. That was an interesting trade that happened well after the free agency period. Collison could be a breakout player.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. I mean, he showed what he could do when he has the entire offense to himself. He's going to have great assist numbers. Can he cut down on the turnovers? And can he be a leader? We don't know if he's a leader yet. We know he can perform. Is he going to grab one of his players when they don't make a good play and yell at them to make sure that they fall in place?
The Thunder needed shooters, so they got Daquan Cook and Morris Peterson. T-Mac to the Pistons. Completely insignificant. Phoenix made some moves, though. I like Phoenix's offseason.
Certainly.
Amari's gone, but Turkoglu, Josh Childress, and Hakeem Warwick are new faces. So whenever guys go to Phoenix, they seem to get better. Just look at Channing Frye.
Yep.
I think Josh Childress is an underrated signing. It was a trade. And Turkoglu, also coming over from Toronto. I like what Phoenix did here.
You expect Turkoglu to look a lot more like he did 2 years ago in Orlando than last year in Toronto. And if that is the case, they've added another player who can have the ball in his hand during those times at the end of the game. And, you know, obviously allow Steve Nash to still do what he does.
Randy Foy is on the Clippers. And quite frankly, I do not like Baron Davis one bit. I don't think he is a point guard that leads his team. You know, get rid of that Golden State upset when they just own Dallas. I am down on Baron Davis. I have been for a few years. Maybe Foy can be.
Baron loves to play when the spotlight's on him. And there's going to be a little bit of a spotlight this
year
on the Clippers. So at the very least, you'll see if they're a playoff competitor, if they're in it towards the end, if they're in that race and he's healthy, he's going to bring it every night.
Now, since Blake Griffin did not play last year, he is eligible for Rookie of the Year. We move on. Travis Outlaw and Anthony Morrow are Nets. Milwaukee had an interesting offseason. Drew Gooden, Corey Maggette. They have Chris Douglas Roberts, and they re-signed John Salmons. I'm not sure how many small forwards they need.
Yep.
I think Corey Maggette was a bad signing. I don't see how he fits in with Scott Skiles. He is not a winning basketball player. He gets to the free throw line. He can score some points. He can make some nice plays.
And he'll be injured about half the season.
They'll be lucky if he's injured, because when he's on the floor, he's a total black hole.
Yeah.
You know, you take a lot of risks when you get guys who used to play for the Warriors, because they only know one mode, and that's shoot, right?
Not assist.
Okay, the Spurs, they finally have Tiago Splitter. I have no idea what to make of that guy other than the hype. He's a big body that could really help them out, and he'll come off the bench to start the season. Minnesota was somewhat aggressive this offseason. They added Michael Beasley. You remember Michael Beasley?
I do remember Super Cool Bees.
They also added Delonte West and Martell Webster. You know, they're going to struggle, certainly. Samuel Dalembert is on the Kings. Andres Nocioni, Spencer Hawes came over to the Sixers. Wesley Matthews to the Blazers. That might not be so insignificant. I liked Wesley Matthews. I don't think it was like an earth-shattering
signing.
He's
one of the names I highlighted as, too. You know what? This guy's going to have a little bit of an impact into where he goes, without a doubt.
Leandro Barbosa on the Raptors. The Wizards added Kirk Heinrich. And Yao Ming is back, but his minutes will be limited, figure around 20, 25 minutes
finally
a night.
I think I called for that last year. I mean, it's something that, from the beginning, with a guy like that, and I think Oden should be underneath the same sort of time mechanism.
Yeah.
Don't ever let these guys extend 25 minutes. The period of, you know, the middle or the beginning of the second period to the middle, the end of the third period, they should be resting. You know, you want to start those guys. You want to finish them in the fourth quarter. But really, throughout the season, the minutes should be limited. So I'm glad to see Houston finally taking that into account.
So without any further ado, we'll give you 1-8 in the Eastern Conference and then the Western Conference. You want to kick it off?
All right, let's start in the East, where at number one, not a big surprise. I think you either are going with one of two teams here.
No, I think three teams.
Three teams? Yeah, I could agree with that. I don't know that the Bulls are yet as good as the Magic. The Heat obviously are the question mark, but I do have the Heat at number one.
The Bulls?
Yes.
Talk about the Celtics, dude.
Oh, no. I've got the Bulls there at three.
Where the heck do you
have
the Celtics?
I've got the Celtics at
four. Okay.
So basically what I'm looking at is not – I don't think the Celtics are going to stay
healthy. You realize Carlos Boozer is out.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. I think Joakim Noah is a good enough big that they're going to be where they're going to be all season.
Okay.
So to me, that's the team. That's why I think of the teams that take that next step, Hawks are coming down. So we've got the Heat, the Magic, the Bulls, 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Boston Celtics. Atlanta Hawks, who again, with the new coach – what are they going to be? They're still talented. They're still in the Eastern Conference, so I don't see them falling off. The Bucks need Andrew Bogut to be healthy to stay where they are.
Oh, that's exactly what I said.
Need them there at number six. Well, I mean, that's their thing. That's their biggest question mark. And again, I don't like the fact that he even is questioning the health of his arm right now, but you know you're going to get effort from him. That's what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Then I've got the New York Knicks.
Oh, my God.
Hey, look, Amari Stoudemire.
You got the Knicks seventh?
Amari Stoudemire is a good player. He is someone that, of course, is going to make MSG exciting, but you know as well as I do, he's not a rebounder. He's not a defense player. Not going to push them into the top five. I don't know where you put the Knicks, but I've got him at seven.
Okay.
Eighth seed is a toss-up. I actually like the Pacers, the Wizards, the Cavs.
Where are the Bobcats, bro?
That's where I have the Bobcats. It's number eight. I like that. What I'm saying is I like the Pacers, I like the Wizards, and I like the Nets. Not sure that they're better than the Bobcats yet.
Yeah.
So the Eastern Conference actually is finally looking like it's not just a four-team race. Now, again, these aren't, you know, you look at 5 through 10.
I don't agree.
Well, you look at 5 through 10, it's not like they're great, but at least these teams are getting better. So it's going to continue. And the East, obviously, we remember for the last however many years, was the, you know, out of the two conferences, was by far the lesser of the two conferences. It's starting to shift the balance a little bit.
You think so?
I do think so. I think the Bulls, the Magic, the Celtics, the Heat, those four, if you take that top four and look at the top four out west, who's to say that the top four in the East isn't better?
I think the future is very bright in the East because the East killed in free agency.
Yes.
The Heat obviously did very well. Boozer went over to the Bulls. Stoudemire went over to the Knicks. The big-time free agents, the Eastern Conference really cleaned up on them. Joe Johnson stayed in the East. So that was pretty important. Carmelo looks like he's going to the East at some point. That's really tough when you start talking about the West and how you rate the Denver Nuggets, but we won't get ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. All right, so you went, just to recap, you went Miami, Orlando, Chicago, Boston, Atlanta, Milwaukee, New York, Charlotte.
That I did.
All right, I have the same top six, but in a different order, but the same six teams. So I went Miami, Orlando, Boston, Chicago. So we swap there. 5, I have Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And 6, I have Atlanta. Or you have Atlanta, yep. 5, and Milwaukee, 6. 7th, I have Charlotte. Now, Charlotte didn't have a great offseason. They're cutting costs. The one positive was that they settled their ownership, and now Michael Jordan is their owner. People seem excited. He seems to be bringing in some new revenue. That's
they
good.
Still have two of the best players probably in the conference, and Gerald Wallace and Steven Jackson.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd call Steven Jackson one of the best players
in the conference.
He's a great
player. I mean,
he's
you
good.
Look at what he did. I understand, obviously, the East with LeBron and those guys.
I don't think he's a top 10
he's
player
a very,
in the conference.
Very good player.
He's a fringe all-star. He'll be in the discussion for the all-star
very
game,
good
sure.
Yeah.
My concern is point guard, though, because they lost Raymond Felton.
That's huge.
And now DJ Augustine really, really has to get it going. They just didn't add much to their team, but they play defense. They're well coached, and when you look at those last playoff spots, and I think Mark Jackson actually said this. A lot of times, it comes down to coaching. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Larry Brown is probably going to get his team in the playoffs more often than some of the guys he's coaching against, like a guy like Mike D'Antoni. So again, I have Miami, Orlando, Boston, Chicago, Milwaukee 5, Atlanta 6, Charlotte 7, and then the 8th spot I was choosing between the Pacers, the Wizards, the Knicks, and the Sixers. And I went with the Philadelphia 76ers because I think Elton Brand improves. Not
really.
All-star, but I think he improves.
Okay.
I think Drew Holiday is extremely underrated.
Drew Holiday definitely worth mentioning.
And
sure.
I think Evan Turner can have an impact. And the fact is, you don't have to be that good to be the 8th seed.
Sure.
So I don't think the Knicks play any defense. People aren't in love with Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah.
Doug Collins maybe works a little magic, and yeah, it was a tough call for the 8th spot. I feel really good about the top 7.
Would it surprise you if the Nets slip in?
It would shock me.
Really?
Are you kidding me? What in the world do they have?
Brook Lopez only needs maybe one other guy. If they make just some sort of impact with some move,
what
they
move?
Can get
they would
to
have
the
to get Carmelo.
In the Eastern Conference, which they could, but
they would need Derek Favors to have a really big year.
Yeah.
And I don't see it happen.
That's my sleeper. I'm putting a sleeper.
Well, the Nets are better than their record from last year.
Yeah,
right. They should have a much better season. And look, if you win 35 games, you're putting yourself in the discussion for the 8th seed. But I just sorry. Yeah.
And
I don't
of course,
see
they
it.
Lost on the John Wall experiment. They lost
they did.
Out on the.
And that's why I have the Wizards in consideration. It's nothing to do with Arenas. I just think Wall. You know, Tyreek Evans kept the Kings relevant for a long time.
He certainly did.
You know, they faded a little bit, and they weren't going to make the playoffs. So there were 8 really good teams. But they might have, if they had played in the East all year, it might have been a different situation.
When we get to the Rookie of the Year talk, I want to see if you think he would be as good as Tyreek was last year. So
John Wall?
Let's get to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get to the West.
All right. So we have a pretty similar Eastern Conference. Western Conference. I was embarrassed by my Western Conference pick, so I'll go first.
All right.
I just had no guts, and I had no way of separating these teams. I don't see, you know, I thought about Houston. I thought about New Orleans with Chris Paul healthy. I thought about Memphis. Are they going to take the next step? Ultimately, I decided Memphis peaked last year. Mm-hmm. I don't see them being much better this year. What's better about Memphis this year? Those guys
you got to hope
peaked.
Rudy Gay may have improved.
Rudy
based
Gay
on
just
his
signed
summer.
His contract. I don't know. The one guy is O.J. Mayo. If O.J. Mayo and Marc Gasol, if those guys keep improving, maybe. But I don't see it. My Western Conference looks like this. Lakers 1, Thunder 2. Does that shock you?
Not at all.
Okay, good.
It's good.
Utah 3, Dallas 4, and then after Utah, I just throwing darts here at a dartboard. Dallas 4, Denver 5, Portland 6, San Antonio 7, Phoenix 8.
Wow.
It definitely occurred to me that this might be the year that San Antonio misses the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I had the same top four as you, so I'm like, wow, we're going to have the top. And then you completely
okay, so my top four was Lakers, Thunder, Utah, Dallas. And then I went Denver, Portland, San Antonio, Phoenix. I know a lot of people are down on Denver, but I'll let you go ahead. 5-8.
Too much turmoil for me in Denver, and I'm going to have to put them outside looking in.
So. You know what? If they trade Carmelo, then they won't make the playoffs. But I'll treat it like they're going to have him.
Okay. So I've got them looking in. So at number one, obviously Lakers. Thunder would be number two for me. I also have the Utah Jazz at number three. I expect Deron Williams to have an MVP-like season. Number four, I have the Dallas Mavericks. Number five, I still think the Spurs will at least have a bounce-back year with a little more health. I'm expecting Ginobili to have a pretty good season for them. Obviously, he is what he is when he's healthy. At number six, I actually like the Portland Trail Blazers. Love Brandon Roy and everything that he does. Having Marcus Camby on the court, hopefully for most of the year for them, will just allow them to be that team they expected when they had Greg Oden there. You know, we got a real good big. We've got guards. We've got LaMarcus Aldridge. We should be a playoff team, and we should be able to get to the second round. Now, again, sixth seed, I'm not going to say they'll get to the second round, but I do like Portland this season. At number seven, I'm going to say that the Houston Rockets will get Yao Ming healthy into the playoffs. I have to do it. I picked him to be a sleeper last year. I think Aaron Brooks is such a great player. He's so much better than I thought he was. And I saw
You have them where, seventh?
I've got them at number seven.
Okay.
Number eight, I have the Phoenix Suns. As you said, you know, they're not going to be as good as they were last year. They're not going to be anywhere near 60 or 55 wins. But with Steve Nash, I really just, you know, still trust in him. I don't think his game has dropped off to the point where his team is not going to be a playoff team. He will get them to the playoffs.
And I think Robin Lopez also will have a much better year. I think he's going to emerge a little bit. You know, we have seven of the same eight teams.
Uh-huh.
The only difference was I had
the
Denver
Nuggets.
Five. You had who? San Antonio.
Well, I've got the
fifth.
Rockets in there, and that when you didn't have the Rockets.
Yeah, and you have San Antonio fifth. We both have Portland sixth.
Yep.
Seventh, I have San Antonio, and you have Houston, and we both have Phoenix eighth. So we actually have pretty similar Western conferences. I just don't know. I agree that the Rockets, Aaron Brooks is going to be big. I don't think you can rely on anything.
And the other team that's Yao Ming. A huge question mark that's going to be fun to watch is the LA Clippers. You know, I mean,
who's their leader?
Again, if Baron Davis is driven, if he's motivated, if Blake Griffin comes out and sets the court on fire and the fans are excited, everything is, you know, excited in that court for them when they're playing, I do think they're going to play better than we think they are. So whether or not they're going to be a playoff team, I don't know. If they get 65 or 70 healthy games out of Blake Griffin and Baron Davis, they could sneak into the playoffs.
Okay, so who wins the East?
I obviously right now, unless one of the big three is hurt in Miami during the playoffs, I don't see anyone in the East stopping them, even Dwight Howard at his best.
I got the Orlando Magic winning the East.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about the Heat. Mike Miller's out for a while. My thing with the Heat is this. I think they're so bad at point guard and at center. I think Mario Chalmers is going to be one of the worst starting point guards in the NBA. And whoever they decide to throw out night after night at center is going to be just a body.
Yeah.
Maybe that blocks shots, maybe that rebounds. Now, they don't have to be great.
Yeah.
But if your lineup is Chalmers, the big three, Joel Anthony, or let's get rid of Anthony and throw in Udonis Haslem, I'm going to zone you up, and I'm going to make you shoot all day, at least until Mike Miller comes back. Who is going to shoot me out of his zone defense? Believe me, I'm not saying it's going to stop the Heat.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there are going to be some nights where their jumpers are not falling because LeBron's not a great jump
shooter. We've
already
seen it in a couple of these preseason games where guys are just throwing up bricks and it looks like, okay, do they really know what's going on here?
Yep.
You know, the addition of Stackhouse, is that going to do anything for the short term?
That's going to do nothing.
You know, obviously, it's not going to sway their win-loss percentage.
Are they going to rely on James Jones to hit three-pointers?
Again, to rely on someone to hit three-pointers. I mean, what they're doing is they're relying on someone on the team on any given night is going to hit 3 to 5 3-pointers. Now, of course, there's nights that's not going to happen. Those are the nights that they lose. But then there's going to be nights where they win by 20 even without hitting more than 5 or 6 threes. They're just that good. They're that talented. And, of course, with those big three, you know what LeBron can do. You know what Wade can do. Even when the nights they're completely shooting horribly, they'll step up the defense, they'll get out on the break, and they'll score on the fast break. They are not a one-dimensional team.
No.
They don't rely on any one thing. You can't
I don't know what they are yet as a team.
Exactly. So, I agree the zone is the way to go. If I were an opposing coach, there's no doubt in my mind, I'd start with a 2-3 zone, and I would wait to see what they do, how do they attack it, and then start breaking down from there. But if you try to cover those guys man-to-man, you obviously know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I do agree that early on in the season it's going to be a learning experience, but for both sides. You know, defenses aren't going to know exactly how to approach the game. So it's going to be fun to watch. That's the main thing. I know everyone had their reaction and their thoughts on the decision, but now that it's here, let's enjoy good basketball and let's enjoy watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you and I, honestly, were very lenient with LeBron because we felt that people completely overreacted, vilified him for no reason. We hated the fact that he went on national TV and made this stupid spectacle.
The decision was bad.
But we respected his actual decision because when you say the decision was bad, you're talking about the special.
Yes.
We respected his decision because he's saying, hey, I want to play with my buddies and I'm going to sacrifice my stats to win. Yeah, exactly. So I promise that this wouldn't be a LeBron show, but it is relevant to talk about a team that might be the best in the league, The reason why I'm just not buying them is because I don't think they have a complete enough roster yet. I think that Wade and LeBron are a little bit too similar. If they're on the floor at the same time, who's the three-point shooter? You need three-point shooters. I have no confidence in their point guard. And I do think that Orlando has to do one thing if they're going to beat the Heat. They have to trade Brandon Bass and get something good in return, because they also, I think they're really going to miss Barnes. Mm-hmm. I think he would be so perfect for them now.
To have
having to go
LeBron.
Against the Heat. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So they're going to have to make a trade and upgrade somehow, get a little bit better, a little bit deeper. Yeah. With Gortat, Bass, and Howard, trade Bass. It was a stupid signing to begin with, but his contract's not that bad. He's very tradable. Make something happen there. And we haven't given Boston a chance. You know, actually, I think a lot of experts are actually picking Boston to win the East, which I respect, but I just don't think this is their year. I think they're too old now.
Yes, that last year was their last hurrah.
I thought they were too old last year, and I was wrong.
Yeah, I mean, they very nearly won. You know, if you look at that Game 7, it's a game they probably should have won. And in general, that's going to be the one that got away.
I think they would have won with Kendrick Perkins healthy.
Yeah.
They couldn't rebound for their lives
certainly would have
in
been
the last two games.
Yep. So you've got the Magic. I've got the Heat. So what about out West? I think we both probably have.
Lakers.
Kobe Bryant, the Lakers.
And I will take the Lakers over the Magic.
Really?
I don't love the addition of Steve Blake, but it doesn't make them worse. And I love the addition of Barnes. I think Matt Barnes is a huge addition. And why not? Why not the Lakers one more time? I know that... Well, this would be the three-peat, right, for Phil Jackson. So he loves the three-peat.
The triple three-peat. Yeah, Lakers Heat.
I have the Lakers over the Magic. You have the Lakers Heat. Who wins?
Whoever has home court advantage.
Think that matters?
Yeah. Well, look at Game 7 last year. If that was in Boston, who wins that game?
Lakers.
You really think? Why? They barely won in L.A. If that game's played in Boston.
Stuff's a little overrated.
So that, to me, is going to be the difference maker. Whoever's playing Game 6 and Game 7 at home. Because it's that 2-3-2
format. Well, the thing is, I mean, look at the Lakers. Assuming health here, you put Barnes on Wade. You put Artest on LeBron. With people need to realize how important Matt Barnes could be. With, I don't want to make it sound like he's this most significant addition, but he's an important player. Kobe's a good defender. Barnes is a good defender. And Artest is a good
defender.
No team matches up better with the Miami Heat than the Lakers.
No team matches up better with any team than the LA Lakers. They have everything you want. When they brought in Pau Gasol, they were nearly perfect. Then you get in Ron Artest. Then you get in a Steve Blake. Now you look at that roster. They're better than they were last year. Now the question mark's Kobe Bryant. He's looked pretty bad in the preseason.
And buying him.
You've got to rest Kobe. Like I said, I think the winner is whoever gets home court advantage.
Yeah, that's why I think the Heat might end up with a better record.
Exactly. Yeah. So who's going to be resting their guys towards the end of the season?
It would be it's not just the end of the season. It's the beginning of the season, too. They might have to sort of ease Kobe into it. Now, Kobe's an animal. He doesn't like to sit.
They can win. I mean, you got to figure, Kobe, let's say he's actually hurt for 3 weeks. With that roster, they should win 85-90% of the games because they're still better than the team. If Pau Gasol's out there and Ron Artest is out there,
I don't really
those guys are out
you.
There. Lamar
I think
out there.
Asking them to win 90% of their games is ridiculous.
Depending on the
but
run
I think
of
winning
their schedule.
70% of their games isn't ridiculous.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, sure. All right, so we both like the Lakers to win once again. So let's have some fun little basketball discussions. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Getting a little tired of reading this crap that I keep seeing from everyone, from even Ken Berger. You know, respect it. I think he's great, but I'm getting tired of it. Chris Paul is still the best point guard in the NBA. I'm tired of this Deron Williams stuff.
Do you remember me 6 weeks or 6-7 weeks into last season? I said Deron Williams, he's the guy. I'm not going to go.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No, he isn't.
Look. I know what Chris Paul is, and trust me, I think he's one of the greatest players I've ever watched. I mean, he's just so fun to watch. And as if you're talking about a pure point guard, he could be one of the best of all time when it's all said and done. Right now, though, Deron Williams has done so much to me that he's number one. Now, Chris Paul could very easily, 6 weeks into this season, change my mind. But based on last season and based on what's going on, Deron Williams is the best point guard in the league.
I can't disagree. No, see, Deron Williams is the best point guard in the league. If you want to say that he's done more, I can't disagree with that. But if the question is, if you could start your team with one of these guys.
I mean, the GM survey on NBA.com wasn't even close.
I know. I don't get that.
55%.
But you know what? They also said they'd rather have Kobe Bryant take the last shot. And you and I are both on record of saying that's the dumbest thing in the world. Kobe Bryant is so overrated as a clutch player.
No. I would say he's overrated as a clutch player.
He is overrated. Are you kidding?
In that he doesn't make many of them, and he doesn't make the highest percentage of them. But
he takes all of them. That's why he makes some of them.
You're right.
That's the basics of my argument. Okay, the point is, if you had to start a team, Greg Urbano,
yes,
you're going to take Chris Paul or Deron Williams as your point guard?
Ah, man.
That's the point, because even with everything Deron Williams has accomplished.
They're exactly the same age.
Sure.
Right? I know they were in the same draft class.
Just this year.
A couple years ago.
Just this year. Just 1 year.
I'll take Deron Williams, just for toughness.
I don't think they're the same age. I think Paul's a little younger.
I'll take Deron Williams, but I'm not sure. I like the bigger point guards. Now, I would take Magic Johnson because he's a 6'9 point guard. But obviously, we're talking. So for me.
You would take Deron Williams, you said?
Yeah, because he's. Now you're going to get more steals out of Chris Paul, but I like the tougher defensive presence of Deron Williams. He's not going to ever be posted up.
All right, fine.
And he can post up opposing point guard.
All right. I respect that. Look, I respect that.
I mean, you talk about two of the greatest players that have stepped on the court. There's no real big debate as to which one of these guys is really good. They're both amazing.
And who's the best player in the NBA?
Kevin Durant.
Shut up.
What?
Are you kidding me?
All right, if you're going to say all-around player.
Not who's going to win the MVP. Who is the best player in the NBA? Thank you.
He's the best all-around player in the world. There's no doubt about it. He's too physical. If he had the body frame of Kevin Durant, he probably wouldn't be that good, but he is just too physically perfect. Everything he does is just that much better.
Let's do a top five off the top of our heads right now. All right? I'm going to get people mad at me. I know I'm going to get people mad at me. Okay, let's go with him. Then him. Okay, I got my top five. You got yours? I'll go first. I'm sorry for being a Kobe Bryant hater, but here we go. LeBron James, 1. Kevin Durant, 2. Dwight Howard, 3. Dwayne Wade, 4. Oh, you have the same one.
I wrote down the same five.
Kobe Bryant, 5.
The same five as
you. That's insane. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, again, LeBron separates himself from everyone. Kevin Durant is by far the best offensive player in the game.
But that's
only one part of the game. Dwight Howard, by far the best defensive player in the game.
Yeah.
Only one part of the game, but he's also a great offensive player. So
Dwight Howard has such an impact on every game just by standing there.
He could easily be the MVP every year from here.
Yeah, just by standing there. You just can't measure it because of his defensive impact and the way he makes everybody else on his team better defensively.
No doubt.
All right, and why Wade over Kobe? Because that one I struggle with.
The youth. I mean, I know it's not a huge gap. I think both of those guys are, if you're going to say, are they closer to the beginning or the end of their career, they're probably both closer to the end of the career.
Yeah.
But right now, Wade just has a little more spark and a little more pep in his step. I think if you watched, and this was, a year or 2 years ago when they were on the Olympic team together, Kobe was really good, but when his shot's off, he's got a bad game. It's going to be a bad game for him. When Wade's shot's off, he just steps it into another gear defensively, gets more steals, goes on the break, and
Locked
then he opens
shots.
Up shots for other guys. So right now it's that full game just because he has a little more pep in his step. Now, Kobe in his prime, just as good.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Okay. All right. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
We agree. That was pretty nuts. Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people would agree with our top five. I think a lot of people would say we're crazy. Time for awards. We're going to go most improved, sixth man of the year, rookie of the year, defensive player of the year, MVP, and coach of the year. Right. Start with, let's start with coach of the year because it's the most boring one.
It is. I'm going to go with Jerry Sloan here. I just feel that Utah has kind of been in the middle of everything in recent years. I feel like they're going to be right there competing for the number one spot in the Western Conference until the end of the year, and then things will kind of sparse themselves or kind of, separate themselves. And I would put Jerry Sloan with that 3-seed Utah Jazz out West.
Okay, I actually went with Tom Thibodeau because I'm looking at what situation can a guy win Coach of the Year with? Okay, new coach, he's going to do better. He's going to do well in the Eastern Conference. The Bulls are going to do better than they did last season. You know what? It's such a natural progression for them. Like, they were a young team that seems to just be getting better with Noah and with Rose as the centerpiece there. They added Carlos Boozer. I know he's going to be out for a little while. They should be better. He's going to be the recipient of all the praise. Well, not all the praise, but enough praise. He'll win Coach of the Year. Whatever.
Okay.
I'm bored. I'm bored already. Most improved player.
Most improved, I'm going with a guy not well-known, big man, Eastern Conference, JaVale McGee. It's a player that, to me, has the tools. He's a bit lanky, and if you watch him play, I don't think he's fully grasped what he is right now. But he can run the court, he can catch the alley-oop, And I would expect him to really take advantage of the talent around him this year and to really show what he's all about. He played with the Team USA roster prior to, you know, actually creating their final 12-man roster. And he impressed a lot of people. He impressed me. And I got to see him really display his skills in a way that the NBA court hadn't allowed him to yet. And I think when he gets out there this season, you're going to see a big step up from JaVale McGee.
That's a good call. I like that. Sixth man of the year.
Sixth man.
Who
I'm going
you got?
J.J. Redick, the Orlando Magic, coming off the bench hitting threes. They're going to be, to me, the 2 seed in the East. And he just gets them from the lulls that they have into winning the games.
I had a lot of trouble with this one, and so I got really bored, and I just went with Jason Terry.
That's always an easy selection.
George Hill for the Spurs. Mm-hmm. I like him. Antoine Jameson's going to start as a sixth man, but I think eventually he'll become a part of the starting lineup because the Cavs are horrible, and they need him to play a lot of minutes. All right, rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year, I mean, I think right now there's two trains of thought.
All right, yeah, let's argue here.
There's two trains of thought. You've got the playmaking point guard who's going to put up some really good numbers. He's going to turn the ball over a lot. His percentage is going to be okay. Then you got this guy out in L.A. who just jumps out of the building, rebounds like a monster, but if he stays healthy, that's the question. For me, Blake Griffin will be the rookie of the year. I hope that he plays more than 65 games because he is going to be one of the most exciting guys to watch night in and night out.
I went with John Wall, and I went with one simple reason because I agree with you about Blake Griffin, but I went with Wall because it's a guards league. It's just a guards league. It's made for guys like John Wall. He is similar to Tyreke Evans. He's going to run up and down the floor. He is awesome. I hope you had a chance to watch him in college. He was one of the most fun players in the nation to watch without a question.
Will he have better numbers than Evans last year?
No, because Evans was, what, the fourth player ever to average
25 and 5. Yeah.
With Oscar Robertson, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James.
Yeah.
So, no, he won't do that.
Okay, so the rebounding won't be as good.
The rebounding
assists
won't be as
will
good.
Assists will be higher.
Assists should be higher.
Steals should be probably a little higher.
You would think so. And the points, I think, will be higher.
He should get to the line more. You know, even though Tyreke is one of the best finishers at the
know.
Rim,
that's
John Wall runs the floor so much faster that he forces you to foul him.
Because
he's
Wall
two steps ahead of you.
So fast.
Yeah.
Just wait till you see this guy play if you haven't seen him yet.
He's so fast, and I thought you were going to have like a joke to follow or something.
How fast is he? all right, defensive player of the year.
Is there any question?
Dwight Howard.
The defensive god of Dwight Howard is going to win this until he retires.
But I think Kevin Durant's going to be in that discussion too because
– For defensive player?
Yeah, because I saw Kevin Durant D up Kobe in the playoffs.
They're not going to make him do that during the regular season. They're not going to wear him down doing that.
He's so young,
Could he possibly? But no,
I think that people are going to see how good of a defensive player he is.
I hope so. I mean, because he can. If you watch him and when he played for Team USA, he got his fingers on so many shots because he's so long. You think you have room, and then he sticks his arm up, and he blocks a shot from 30 feet away.
I hope that Team USA experience is beneficial for him.
It's going to be huge.
He says, okay, now I'm going to be the best player in the
it's
gonna league.
It's going to be huge. He knows now.
I don't think he will be, but I hope he takes that approach.
Yeah.
And finally, MVP.
MVP of the league for me is going to be Kevin Durant. And there's reasons why. If you look at, you know, obviously Kobe has Powell. So that takes votes away. He just has another guy who is otherworldly talented. The Miami Heat, obviously, there's three guys there. You're not going to segment one guy and say you were the best, you're the MVP, because they're not going to even segment themselves by stats. They're going to be very close to one another. The only guy that could possibly stand up with Kevin Durant is going to be Dwight Howard. So it's what the voters are going to choose. And Kevin Durant most likely is going to average about 35 points this year. With all the things that Dwight Howard does, like you said.
Can you stop for 1 second?
Like you
can
said.
Can you stop talking for one
it's
second?
It's a guard-heavy league.
35 points?
Yeah.
Where do you come up with these numbers?
Why couldn't he? Well, I mean, Tracy McGrady averaged 32.1. You're telling me that Kevin Durant can't average 35?
Yeah.
He's the best offensive player.
Tracy McGrady was so much more selfish than Kevin Durant
was.
Yes,
I agree with.
That's important.
Okay, but his percentages are always going up.
I guarantee you
if you look at his,
that Kevin Durant will not average more than 31.
No, okay. No. I guarantee you.
Write it down.
Guarantee over more. Over 31.
31.
I wrote it down. Okay.
31 points a game. He's not going to average more.
I don't see why you think that.
And 35 is preposterous.
If you look at the progression from year to year, most likely he's going to average something more like 32.5. But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for the guy to average 35 points. How can you see that? I mean,
because again, nobody averages 35 points. That's a hell of a lot of points.
Nobody's ever been as good as Kevin Durant.
I mean,
Michael Jordan
about?
Had a 35.8
yeah, Michael
eight
Jordan did.
Early in his
Michael
career.
Michael Jordan did, yeah.
And he had 8 assists too. So he had 35 points and averaged 8 assists. Kevin Durant's only going to average about 3 assists. So to say he can't get 35 points a night, I don't see why not.
Can you keep talking while I look this
up? Yeah, so, I mean, again, you know, Kevin Durant to me, if you look
at
the MVP
Kevin
race,
Durant. I have Kevin Durant to
he just stands out because, you know, and again, Dwight Howard could very easily win this, but voters are swayed by highlights. They're swayed by points, and they're usually going to go with the guy.
Don't count out LeBron here. LeBron's going to put up ridiculous numbers in those.
But the hatred.
Not the – no, I don't
– You don't think the voters are going to hate on him and not
give
him votes?
I think they're going to get over it.
If you say so. But also Dwayne Wade is going to win a lot of those games being Dwayne Wade. So
I think – okay, we put Dwayne Wade ahead of Kobe Bryant. I think that after this year we are going to change that because I think Dwayne Wade might have a bit of a down year, at least statistically.
Of course he's going to have a down year statistically.
Yeah, but I'm worried about his health. I'm worried about
his
health.
His percentages will be fine. They'll go up.
He spent a lot of the offseason in court. He's had all these personal problems. He's already got an injured hamstring.
So he's, yeah.
And he's not that young anymore.
So he's a little
and
more
he's
rested.
He's banged up every year.
But he's more rested. Yeah, he had the injury, but that allowed him to rest. Like you said, he was in court instead of
injuries. Don't make that into a good thing.
He was in actual court instead of on the court, which also, again, allows him to rest. He wasn't playing with Team USA. He wasn't logging all these minutes in the summertime like these guys normally do. So I don't think – and I also think if you look at the way the Heat are made, and we talked about limiting the minutes for Yao Ming, if you're the coach of the Miami Heat, every single night one of those three guys should be limited to about 25 minutes to ensure their health. You don't need to push all these guys to 35, 40 minutes a night. So if he can simply say, all right, tonight, LeBron, you're the one who's playing 25 minutes.
You live in a fantasy world, honestly.
Why is that?
I wasn't even listening to what you were saying. It just, the end of it, because I'm trying to look up Kevin Durant's stats.
It?
No, I don't. My phone is so slow.
Well, again, what I'm saying is the Miami Heat should be smart.
It's okay. We don't have to talk about it. We'll figure it out. Let me just kill a little bit of time with our outro here, and then I'll tell you how many points a game he averages last year. But do you realize 35 points? Okay, so anyway, to recap our NBA preview podcast, we both like the Lakers to win the championship. Greg likes them over the Miami Heat. Greg likes whoever has home court advantage. Yeah. So I apologize. We both like the Lakers in the West. I like the Magic in the East, and he likes the Heat. And we pretty much see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. And last year, Kevin Durant averaged. Still don't see it. Kevin Durant. I'm sorry.
You would think at CBS Sports we'd have really high-speed internet stuff.
What, in here? Not in this conference room. We don't get it. All right, well, it doesn't matter. So anyway, your final thoughts?
Final thoughts are, again, like I said, just enjoy the NBA season. You know, I think everyone this summer got caught up in the hype of, you know, this guy made a wrong decision to do this and he shouldn't have gone here. Just enjoy the NBA for what it is. There's going to be really a lot of great teams to watch and a lot of great players.
30.1. So if you're looking now at, we can shut up and sign off.
You don't think he's going to have
5 points? Are you out of your mind?
I think he could. I didn't say I'm going to guarantee he averages 35 points, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that for about 6 months of the season he's averaging 35 points.
Let's go to Vegas. Everything you put money on, I'm going to put on the opposite.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
You know, if I'm betting on Kevin Durant, I feel pretty good.
For Greg Urbano, I'm Adam Azer with the long-winded exit from the show as the internet on my phone completely failed me.
Next
but week. We thank you all for tuning in, and make sure you check us out in iTunes. We're going to have our bloggers doing podcasts hopefully throughout the year, so good interviews, good
email
stuff like that.
Email us questions.
Email us cbsipodcastfeedback@cbs.com.
I thought we were going to get a shorter email address this year.
I'm working on it.
We're making it easier on the fans, okay?
Goodbye, everyone.